I'm going to show you is very simple and rudiment, no Markov chain analysis, no statistical analysis. Before I start my presentation, I am the project manager for Maven, which is our web-based training or web-based surveillance system for the state of Massachusetts. And it's very simple what I'm going to present on, but what we needed to do was start simple with our local health partners in training people on how to use a web-based system and in understanding that a 3.5 hour training on our web-based system, and that's really all we're given by the nurses and the health agents and our local health district in Massachusetts, that we needed a way to kind of test them to make sure that they understood the basics. And so I created a very simple checklist training proficiency test. You have to do the training test before you go live with using our web-based system. Is it perfect? No, we have tweaked it a few times, but that's what I'm going to present on today. Talk about the history of Maven, the goals and the overview of what we do in our training and our testing, where we're at currently with Maven, some results, challenges, and talk about some recommendations. We began our Finn journey back in 2004. We went live at the state when we bought Maven, the COTS solution for Massachusetts. We bought it in 2005, we tweaked it for our state, and we turned it live in 2006, and then we started using it at the local health department a year later. We have been live since the 2006 date. We have everything in except, no problem, except STD, HIV, AIDS, and then TB came February 2007. The first online Board of Health was 2007. We train the local boards on how to access and process disease reports. Massachusetts has 351 towns. There's no county-based government, which makes it kind of challenging because everybody's a little bit different. We have a town with 300 people that has a town hall that's only open on Wednesdays from 2 to 4, to Boston with 686,000 people that have about 20 public health nurses, full-time public health nurses. So we train them on using our Maven system on a training site, then we administer a self-paced proficiency test, and as I tell them, when you mention the word test to nurses, they tend to freak out. And you say, everyone's going to pass the test, it's more about me just training you and making sure you understand how disease enters the system and it's processed through the system using a web-based system, because for many of these nurses and health agents, registered sanitarians that do our case investigation and follow-up, they're still very wedded to paper and pen, and it's a tough jump to go up to a web-based system for many people. They check their email, but maybe they check it once a week. We certify the results with basically me going through the training site and making sure that they've entered a case correctly, they've assigned it to themselves, they've picked a correct lab if they so choose. It's basic stuff, and I can show you that when we get into it. And then we provide that retraining and review as needed. Some of our nurses call us every week on our helpline, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, to ask us how to process a case through the system. Some call you once a month to ask, you know, because they've logged on to our system and they need to remember how to go through the steps. And then at that point, we schedule kind of a go-live date for Maven. So we move you from a read-only access to that full online status. Maven captures all the data elements required for our surveillance and case management, and then we have that interface with the electronic lab report. Many people, we use a LOINC and SNOMED based reporting for our labs, and it's a little technical. And so for a nurse who's used to seeing Lyme disease positive, it's a jump to start seeing these LOINC and SNOMED codes. So that's also part of the training. It's a role-based access. So you have health agents, public health nurses, and you also have VNA nurses. Different roles, different access into the system. It's allowed for us to streamline that business process by doing the training for the investigation surveillance, and it allows for that triage of information between us and them. The key thing for the locals is it allows for that email or text messaging for immediate disease notification. Many of the nurses, agents are not at their desk Monday through Friday. They're out in the field doing from a septic tank review to picking up a dog that's bit the neighbor local kid. So it's a little bit all over the place. we created the training materials really for our internal staff, and then we tweaked them for the local boards of health. The skill levels, I try to ascertain them prior to training by asking basic questions. You know, how much do you use your computer? Are you familiar with Excel? And you get kind of a gist of what they're doing, what the feel of the training class is, because sometimes it really is a slow process. You spend half your class just giving them basic training on how to use a mouse, a tab key, things like that. The classroom settings, I usually try to find some type of library or senior center. I try to go for free and not pay. And I can usually talk people into giving me training centers or community college centers for free to use. And then we also have a web-based training that I do in the event that it's just hard to pick a date and a time to get 10, 12 people together. And that, I think, has worked. But again, it's that technology jump on training people how to use a web-based training tool and the headset or the telephone. We use PowerPoints. We have hands-on training. After I go through my spiel, my PowerPoint, I basically get you on our training site with a username and password and get them using the system and keep it really basic. Don't go into the whistles and bells because our system has a lot of that extra functionality. But if you overload them, their brain just shuts down. And again, you only are limited to three and a half hours. We print out the training materials for them, and then I've created cheat sheets on those subject matter areas that are really important for moving the cases or events through our system and getting the electronic case report form back to us at the state so our EPIs can review it, give it the case classification, and then we send it on to CDC. We follow up the trainings with an email, basically outlining what I covered, and then again, the proficiency test, what you gotta do. And these are some samples of the training slides. I mean, it really walks you through. When an event hits the system, it's an immediate disease. This is what you're going to get an email or a text message to your phone. I walk through the workflows. In Maven, we have workflows, and how you equate a workflow is really just an electronic folder where the disease events go. But a lot of people that haven't, it's a hard concept to grasp for some people on the workflows, and how you answer the questions move the events through notification to case report complete and then out of the system. Talking about question packages, and the question packages in our system are just the case report form chopped up into sections, and it's disease specific, so you only see certain question packages for certain diseases. We talk about six easy steps to move your event through the system. So one of the things that we recently did is in our system, we moved the different questions into one section for local board of health follow-up and triage because they were all over the what we call the administrative page. So now we labeled them step one, step two, three, four, five, six, and that's really what I keep focusing on, the six steps to move your case event through the system once you answer the applicable questions in the different question packages for your disease event. I talk about reports. We click around because that for us in Massachusetts, it's the first time that the locals have access to their data. And it's a big jump for them because now they can pull up Lyme diseases confirmed by date, by time, and they struggle with that. So we go through that, and then I get them on the system. I give them a username again and a password. And then when I'm finished with the PowerPoint, no Markov chain analysis, I basically say, get on, use the system. And that is a time constraint for many people, you know, to do three and a half hour training, and then go back to their office, they're off and running on something else. The proficiency test, again, very simple. It's what I cover in my my training and my presentation. So we've already gone through it, but these are the key things that you need to do. You update your information, enter a Hep A case, check the workflow to see that the Hep A case has appeared, assign the event to yourself, leave a note, and then you go through and you do the six steps, assign a task assignment to me or one of the EPIs at the state, you unload the event by letting it go back into the library, or so I speak to them about that, and that keeps them pretty busy. And then I have them go back, clear out some of the workflows, add some more cases, create a contact, complete a Lyme event, print out patient letters, and change an address. So again, it's very simple, very, very simplistic, but if what we found is if you can do these simple things, then you understand and grasp the concepts. So one of the things that has helped us is we created a governance council for asking the locals to participate in where Maven was going. And so we have quarterly meetings where the locals are all invited. We have anywhere from 10 to 12 locals, sometimes up to 15 depending on the topic is. They get to drive the agenda and tell us what they want Maven to do. We have 175 boards of health actually live and using our Maven product out of 351. 49 of the boards of health have added the additional TB model. 24 boards have read-only status. So I try to train you and give you read-only status to the real site to try to get you in the habit of logging on to the real site, looking at your data, and then we flip you into what we call that live mode. And I've trained about 249 boards out of our 351 boards of health. We do have a help desk and an email address that are manned Monday through Friday. And depending on what's going on, it can be a little bit busy. And those are those duties we really, I think, need to think about funding a full-time person for this, because it's in addition to the duties we already have. Monday through Friday, we chop it up. And it's gotten a little crazy the more boards of health we brought on. This is the towns that I've trained in Massachusetts. This is the current state of Massachusetts. The blue towns are everything. The reds are the read-only. The red down here on the south is a V&A group, and I've trained them. I think they struggled with understanding some of the concepts, and now that H1N1 hit, they're really like, I'm not going to do this until 2010. So they're using it to log on and look at their events, but they're not actually, you know, planning to jump on the test site and train. They just don't have time right now. So as you can see, there are some huge holes in the state that I haven't been able to reach out to. The middle of the state is an interesting group of towns that tend to be smaller, one board of health agent that meets once a month, perhaps a public health nurse, and we send out our disease notifications to them, but nothing ever comes back. Because, you know, I was told by a doctor that they didn't understand why we sent them their case events, and they shredded them. They were like, we get them, we thought that we were just telling them, and we shred them. So it's an interesting, in the middle of the state, I have to point out. It's a beautiful part of the state, but it's an interesting part of the state. The challenges are many. I think the big one is having 351 individual cities and towns. And that's just the way the founders of Massachusetts set up our state. They didn't want county government. They wanted the towns to have their own boards of health, and that's how it is. So we've managed, and we continue to manage, but I think that is one of the biggest challenges. Limited staffing at the state and local health departments, wide range of computer competency. I'm sure y'all all have experienced that in your day-to-day jobs. And then again, that multiple schedule complexities for these jurisdictions between the health agents, public health nurses, V&A nurses, registered sanitarians, it's interesting. A lot of turnover at the local level, I think, and also given our economic times that we're facing, I think there has been even more so in the last couple months. Data stewardship, who owns the data? Who has the final say on the local or the state? And so we've had a few issues around that. Very training settings. Sometimes you get to a training setting, they say that you can get to the internet, it's a dial-up. I've had that happen. So you have to be very clear when you pick your training sites. And then we've changed our interface numerous times because we want our system to be new and fresh and keep current of what's going on. But when you do have a user interface change, not significant, but even a minor one, it throws everybody into a loop. So you have to kind of rethink and plan and deploy those kind of things. And sometimes we don't do such a good job on that. And so I've come up with really detailed release notes on a PowerPoint that give you, you know, we've added this variable, and I give you a picture and with a little point, like this is where the variable goes. So I've tried to be mindful of those things. Conclusions, electronic web-based reporting has, it has definitely helped the completeness and timeliness of our reporting and investigation in Massachusetts. it's nice to go to our closet where we keep all of our case reports, and you open it, and it's actually manageable. When I first came here 5 years ago, our Lyme and Hep B, Hep C were measured in feet, not inches. And so having Boards of Health report directly into an electronic system has certainly helped us maintain, I think, a little bit more timely reporting to us and back to the CDC. Having that ability to go out and train in the local communities has really, I think, strengthened and created some new relationships for us with the locals, because there's always been, and I'm sure it's like this everywhere, but the locals in the state tend to bump heads a lot of times. So it's been nice to kind of go out, put names to faces, vice versa, and really get to know some of the nurses and the health departments and get to hear their frustrations and their needs or wants for a system. And so we have made some changes based on what they need and what they want for our system, which is nice. Comprehensive training materials on-site and web-based trainings, well-supported help desk, as I mentioned, are critical to that success that we've had. You know, and again, H1N1 really assisted us in getting, I think, some more Boards of Health on and flipped over to an online, because, you know, we told them it was like the carrot. It's like, if you want to see your H1N1 cases, then get on Maven, get trained. And so we had, in the last month, we had about 30 additional ones get trained, and they're fixing to flip on in middle of September. So it's been good. But again, it's been a challenge, but that's what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. It's H1N1 one day, it could be something, whatever. But having the ability to train and then test, and I'm not talking a hard test, I'm talking very simple, easy test, keep it simple and clean. Eventually, I want to move to a more web-based training where people can take like a test and submit it for CMEs, and I'm in the process of actually getting certified for CME training, which I think will help the nurses as well be more interested in the training. So, cool. Thank you. Thank you.